Hey everyone, welcome back to the Contextual Insurgent Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Smith. This is Daily Dispatch, the Ukrainian edition, episode 2. Sorry for the couple day delay there I had. Wasn't a whole lot going on. If you probably remember from my last one, I was in Warsaw. I had some issues with a bag being lost in Amsterdam. Well, they finally found it and got it to me, and I am actually currently inside Ukraine in the city of Lviv. I successfully got the bag and made it into the country. So to give you all a little update on what all happened, took them a couple days to find my bag, which was roughly one third of the stuff I brought with me into the country. They got it, they found it in Amsterdam and got it back to me in Warsaw, and I entered the country Tuesday morning. I got up around 5 o'clock. Well, I was up around 4. I got to the train station, Warsaw Central, around 5 a.m. and it's absolutely packed. The station is just flooded. Even in the middle of the night, it's flooded with refugees. People are camping out in the floors. There are aid stations set up and aid organizations there feeding these people, trying to take care of them, get them shelter and housing and food and, you know, documents and everything. It's a true flood. It honestly reminds me of like hurricane season in a sense, but it's even worse in terms of just the mass of people that are moving in one direction and, you know, how it just stresses the local infrastructure and capacity. Anyway, I got a ticket there for the train to, because it's getting into a country that's in war. It's a lot like a hurricane too. It's interesting because, you know, like I said, everyone is flowing. All the people are flowing away from the area, and it's hard to get back into the country. There's not a whole lot of traffic, so to speak, but it's one of the things of, like, there's security checkpoints, and everyone is super paranoid because, you know, obviously, if it's a hurricane, they're looking for... Sorry, there is a police car coming by right now. There's lots of security stuff in the city right now. It reminds me so much of a hurricane. It's really interesting because, you know, in a hurricane, if you're on the Gulf Coast, everyone's worried about looters and stuff like that. So everyone's kind of paranoid. People are watching out. If they don't recognize you or trust you, if you don't belong there, they're, you know, not going to want to let you in the area, or they're just going to bird dog you. And there's a lot of that going on around here too, which is understandable. There's been apparently been some spies that have been captured in the east, but also apparently in the west. So anyway, what happened was, you can't go directly into the country. You can't fly into Ukraine. You know, you can drive if you have a vehicle, but it's just a pain in the ass. There's not a direct train or bus ride either. You have to take a train to the town of, it's spelled really weird, but it's pronounced Pashimishl. And there's a couple different things you can do from there. There is an immigrant train. It's a refugee train. It's like apparently from the 1940s, and it's really busted up and has no bathrooms on it. You can hop on that train. It comes in about twice a day and ride that back to Lviv, or you can actually walk across the border. I had a connection in Mostika picking me up, and so I decided to walk across the border, which I probably should have taken the train. It turned out to be a mess, and we're going to get into that. So I had to lug my bags, and the thing is, when people are trying to get out, there's a massive traffic jam, so it's hard for someone to drive up to the border and pick you up because there's like a 15-mile long line of cars trying to leave. It's like, again, it's just like a hurricane in the sense of traffic's moving so slow, and you can't really get anywhere quickly if you're trying to leave. So I walked across the border, or tried to anyway, so I had to lug my bags. I got off at Pashimishl, which is about 7 miles from the border. Hired a cabbie to take me there, and he dropped me off on the land side where you can actually just walk in and out across the border on foot. So I'm lugging my bags, and I go through the Polish exit station pretty easily. I get over the Ukraine side, and again, remember what I said, it's like a hurricane season. People are super paranoid about, you know, what are you doing here if you don't belong here? So the lady starts quizzing me. She's like, lady at the passport station, she's, you know, she's not rude, but she's like, what is your purpose here? And she didn't speak very good English. So she starts, I'm like, ma'am, I'm carrying, you know, I'm going to see I gave her the name of the chaplain I was going to see at the in the church in their card. And I was like, I have 3 bags of medical gear here. I'm going into Ukraine, deliver this stuff. And she's like, what else? And she had to get someone else to come translate me, one of the other people that was entering. And she's, and I'm trying to explain. She's like, what else are you doing? Well, I'm also like an amateur, you know, independent journalist. Going to do some writing and reporting on what I'm seeing for a few days. And she says, okay, well, stand aside for a minute. She wasn't, didn't look angry, wasn't, you know, mad or anything. So she just said, just stand over there for a minute. I have to, because journalist, I have to report you. Then it's a couple of Americans came in after me. And they got the same thing of like, okay, just stand over there for, you know, in the corner for a minute. And it's interesting because when you're walking up, there's like a big crush. There's like everywhere you go, every time there's like a choke point or something where the refugees are boarding or getting off or getting onto something, there's like a big crush of like all the NGOs and the aid organizations that are helping people. And it was just like that. It was crazy. It looked like something out of a movie. You know, you walk up there and there's tents set up. They're giving out food. They're giving out clothing. They're trying to help people load them on buses. And it's interesting because you can tell the people that are walking into the country are radically different from the people leaving. Ukraine apparently has a draft going right now on their martial law, and they're not allowing Ukrainian national men between 18 to 60 to leave the country. They have to stay and be available to fight. So there's lots of women and children and young people leaving. And older men leaving too. Most of them are staying too, from what I can tell. Wasn't really a whole lot of old men. It's, even the people over the age limit seem to want to stay. But, yeah, so you're walking up there and they're loading these people on trains. And you see all the people walking in. And it's like, it's a big line of Ukrainian men that are overseas working that are coming back to fight for Ukraine. You see those people. And you also see the people, you know, that stand out. You know, you can tell who is the territorial defense people because they stand out too. They have the military bearing, even if they're wearing civilian clothes. And it's sort of, it's just funny because, you know, there's all these people walking in there, and the people that are walking in, you know, even if you're not going to technically join up and enlist in the Foreign Legion, everyone just kind of nods at each other. You know, it's kind of this thing of the people that run to, you know, whether it's a war zone or a disaster zone, it's a specific type of personality, and everyone there is like that, and it's all kind of like this very subtle, like low-key little nod to each other, you know. So anyway, we get in there and are waiting, and then a bunch of soldiers come in there, and they's like, "Come with us," and they take us. We have to drag my bags and their bags all the way like across like 12 lanes of road because that's all the checkpoints for getting in and out, and they take us to the other building, and the soldiers like start basically sweating us down. They all split us up and take us to a different room, and I'm in a room with like 5 Ukrainian soldiers, and like, "What are you doing? Who are you? What are you doing and they're not being, you know, mean or rude, but they're like not fucking around. They're just being very short and to the point. I'm like, "Hey, I'm here to help you. I've got 3 bags of medical gear. You know, I am here." I gave them the name of the person I was going to see, and it was kind of ironic because one of the soldiers was actually like, the person I'm seeing was actually his chaplain. He goes to that church, so that worked out pretty good. So yeah, I get up there and I'm like, "Hey guys, I'm here to give medical gear to the Ukrainian army, help your soldiers. Do y'all need anything?" And like, they look at each other and like, "Well, yeah we do." And I'm like, "Okay, here, man, I'm gonna give y'all," I pull out, "How many do you need?" And they're like, "Can you give me a few more?" And they're like, I'm handing them Israeli bandages. I gave them like a dozen Israeli bandages. Then they start asking for tourniquets. They're like, "Do you have any tourniquets?" And I'm like, "Well, I got, here's the first 5 I can find." So I gave him like a dozen Israeli bandages and like 5 tourniquets. And like, that's good. Thank you. Welcome to Ukraine. And they get really happy at that point. You know, it was really kind of funny. But then they take me over back to the passport thing, and they give the lady a thumbs up and point to me, and she gets smiling and she's happy. And then she waves me over and she stamps my passport and gives me my passport. And she stands up and reaches through the thing, and like, she has this big grin. And like, again, you know, she was kind of quizzing me and she wasn't rude or anything, but she was just kind of very official and very formal and very serious about what she was doing. But as soon as, you know, I got the thumbs up, and she stood up and her face was just beaming. She handed me my passport. Then she reached through and she was like, thank you. And she started shaking my hand, and it was just pretty wild. You know, but I understand it's the same thing, you know, reason people are like that when you go to like a hurricane. They have to make sure, you know, do you belong here? And again, you know, this is a country at war. Everyone's kind of on edge. They want to make sure they know who you are and they trust you before they let you in. and completely reasonable thing. And that's really the thing that stands out. It's like, you know, to get into a country at war like this, you can't just wander in. They want to make sure you're not there to for bad reasons, or just, you know, even evil reasons or bad reasons or no reasons. You need to have a good reason, and you need to have a connection. So that's really the thing. It's like you have to have some sort of, to get into Ukraine right now, you have to have a good reason. You have to be able to express that reason very clearly. And it has to be a reason that's going to be a positive thing to help them. And it also really helps if you have a Ukrainian connection. They're like, do you know any? And they asked me that. Do you know anyone in the country? I'm like, yes, I know. These are the people that I know. These are the people I'm coming to see. These are Ukrainians and expats that live here that I'm coming to see and coming to help. And these are the equipment that I have. You know, so once they were satisfied with that, it was good to go. And, you know, I got to walk on through. But, you know, if you show up to the border, they're going to stop you and they're going to quiz you. You're going to be taken over to another building with a bunch of soldiers standing around you, and they're going to pepper you with questions. You're going to get the interrogation. Again, this is a country at war under martial law, completely, you know, reasonable, understandable, given what's happening. So, yeah, so I leave, and, yeah, I get stamped, get waved through. I'm, like, dragging this fucking 3 suitcases, and I'm just gassing out because this shit was 150 pounds. And bragging all this stuff, and it was an uphill grade too, which was what it was like. The entire thing was going uphill, so it was like a very somewhat slight, but it was an uphill grade, and it sucked. So anyway, I get up there, and there's a Foreign Legion tent for the people, and they're like, "Are you a soldier? You here to fight?" I'm like, "Well, I'm not here to fight. I haven't signed up, but I've got a shit ton of medical gear, and I'm here to help the soldiers." And they're like, "Yeah, come on in." So they sat me down in their tent to help keep me warm, and they're like, pulled my bags off, and they're like, "Just sit down, take a break, relax." And they gave me hot tea that was like really tasty tea, and then they started giving me scones and everything, just being super, super helpful. One of the guys, I call my contact, and you know, they speak to them in Ukrainian. And then I have after that, yeah, the guy's like, "Okay, we'll get you a ride," because I had to go to a town called Mystica, which is like 8 or 9 miles up the road, because the traffic's so bad. So yeah, they have like the passes where they can bypass all the traffic control. So yeah, the Foreign Legion, they brought their van up, and they were like, "Hey, hop in." You know, the guy's wife actually was helping, and they drove me to Mystica to meet my contact, and I tried to pay her. I was like, "Here, let me give you some money." And they're like, no, you're here to help us. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. No charge. So, it was really, you know, it's really interesting. Again, that's like the thing. It's like, it's really interesting, the dynamic here. Like, everyone's a little standoffish and paranoid at first, given that everything's happening. But once they, like, know who you are, and, like, you know that that you're here for a good reason, and they can trust you, they just warm up immediately. And it's all about, like, just this sense of, like, solidarity. It's like a switch flips. They're like, "I don't know who you are, stranger," but then they're like, "Oh, you're here for a good reason." They're like, "Yes, hell yes, thank you for being here. You're with us on this journey as we defeat Russia." But it's really wild. So anyway, I get the ride to Lviv, and we split up the gear through several people. My friend's a medical person, so he got a big chunk of it. We also went to see the temple, the garrison temple, actually. It was one of the chaplains at the garrison, which is the military temple they have in Lviv. And I give him the rest of the gear to distribute amongst the army, because he's a military chaplain. He's got all the connections. So he's already sending that stuff out to the field hospitals. Like, I had a bunch of, like, bandages and stuff like that, but I also have, like, several transfusion, like, field transfusion kits, blood transfusion kits, including, like, blood typing and, you know, Cryo, whatever the fuck you call it, the thing where you stab someone in the throat and they can, like, breathe that way, like, the tracheotomy stuff, the field stuff for that, and, like, the pneumothorax stuff, lots of stuff. Anyway, so I passed all that on to him, and then I went to this place to crash, because I was exhausted, as you can probably fucking imagine, after a whole day of that, getting put to the ringer. Now, like, I probably spent over an hour, like, being held up in passport control and being interrogated, having to pull my bag out and show everyone and prove to them that I was not, you know, there for bad reasons. But again, like I said, once they know you're there and you're good to go, you know, they're like, "Brother," you know, or "brother" or "sister," or whatever. They're just like best, you know, you're just besties to them. So yeah, anyway, I'm here, and yeah, they set me up at a place. I'm crashing at this little place It's like an underground thing where there's like a basement, but there's like a dozen cots in there, and there's like some refugees, and there's other people that are working for aid stuff there. It's kind of Catch-as-Catch-Can, a little bit of everyone, and it's really great. Everyone there is awesome. I've been walking around today. I've got some people lined up to interview, and I'm going to interview them and get that published, probably tomorrow. I want to go back. You know, the priest would like to be, he was open to be interviewed, and he actually offered me a time, but it was like I had just gotten there and dropped the stuff off, and my friends needed to get back to their village. So I was like, let me go get settled, and I'm exhausted, and let me get a rest, and I'll get back with you next day or two. So I'm looking to go talk to him tomorrow. But yeah, I'm staying in this place, and it's really cool. Everyone is like, like I said, it's everyone here is really incredibly friendly. And if I could explain the mentality of the people I'm dealing with, everyone's spirits seem to be up. There's not really any depressed or defeatist type of people. Everyone seems to have a lot of resolve here. They have good morale. Things like Lviv is not really in bad shape. You know, it hasn't been attacked or anything. I think they've had maybe some airstrikes on the outskirt of it, like some cruise missile strikes and everything, but it hasn't been anything crazy. They had some saboteurs and stuff, and like recon Russian squads that have been arrested, and yeah, there's checkpoints and shit everywhere, but everyone's like polite. It's all cool. There's not really any shortages here that I can see. It's like there's seems to be plenty of food to go around, and like there's a curfew at night from like 10 to 6. Everyone seems to be pretty good. Like I said, good spirits. There seems to be a good bit of food here. Like you can go out and eat. I ate at a couple of different little coffee shops and stuff like that. I went and ate this place today called the Cat Cafe, and it's been getting a little bit of press because it is a place that, you know, it's like it's, you may have seen some other places, like, I know there's a place very similar to this in San Francisco where it's like, it's a coffee shop that's like, you know, full of cats, like rescue cats and pet cats. And they didn't, and the proprietors of this one in Lviv didn't want to leave because they didn't want to run away and evacuate and leave their pets. So they decided to stay and, keep their cats safe. And they're doing a lot of business. They've got lots of people coming. They had like three other people in there interviewing people when I was there, come in and out to interview them. And I'm going to try to interview them tomorrow when it's a little bit less busy. But I sat around there for an hour and a half and, you know, played with some cats and chatted with the people there. And it was just like a really enjoyable experience. It's one of those things. Another thing, the food here is good, and it's also really, really cheap because of the exchange rate. So what I've been doing is, you know, trying to give people like a 50 or 100% tip when I buy food. So that's been my plan. I had an English breakfast today and like a coffee macchiato, and it was like $5, you know, like a full English breakfast and coffee, and the total bill was $5. So I'm like, yeah, you know, the stuff's fairly cheap. Good price for everything. Pretty happy, you know, with that. The city is, it's really interesting. More so than about city itself, you know, it doesn't really have any interstates. It's very much an old city, and it feels old. It has Warsaw's kind of the same way. Warsaw's got some new parts of it. The city is like, it just feels like it's a really cool, like I'm on a World War II set, because almost all the streets are like cobblestone. The facade on some of the buildings is aged, and you can see like pockmarks in it and everything. It looks like an interesting age type city. Lots of cool little shops here. I mean, it's not shiny and new like San Francisco. What can I say? Not all of San Francisco is shiny and new, of course. That's kind of a dumb thing to say. But there's parts of it that are. You know, and maybe there are some here that I haven't seen yet. Like, I'm right downtown, but it's really a charming city. And doesn't feel like anything else, like when you travel. It definitely does not feel like America. It's just instinct. It's one of that very instinctive, very distinctive facade where, you know, if you've ever been in San Francisco, there's something about San Francisco that's so distinctive with the way the buildings look, like the bay windows and everything. Very distinct architecture, the dormers and everything. that it, you just know immediately from a flash of a building that it's San Francisco, and you feel like this here too. It's very wild. Like it's a little bit of a rundown look all over the city, but it's got a real charm to it. I was out there today walking around, and they had a boys' choir that was singing next to the opera house. And it was a lot of people gathered around, and they were clapping and cheering after their performance. It's just the thing that stands out to me is like it seems like the people in the city have a lot of resolve to see this through, and their spirits and morale is high. And it seems like they're really pulling together. It's really kind of inspiring to see. It's like people that are like, you know, we're in this fight against Russia and we're doing good and the whole world believes in us. And it's just really, it's really interesting because, you know, you see, I haven't really seen anyone like have any like spats or angry little encounters on the street like you may see in some place. Like, again, San Francisco. It's like people have a real intent, like a real... I don't know. I feel like people are stopping to see the humanity in each other. You know, there's this interesting thing when you talk to someone on the street. You know, it's like that feeling of like, hey, we're in this together. You know, it's a very low subtext feeling of like, hey, you know, you're here too. You're here with us. I'm here. You know, in this country, in this time of war, and you're here in Lviv. And like, I kind of get that. And that, again, that's the foreigner thing, I think. For maybe some of that's coming from it, because it's like I haven't had anyone be hostile yet. Like, it was just, again, you have, like I said, the soldiers, you get the quizzing and the interrogation, but then after that they're like, okay, you're here for the right reasons, you want to help us, you're not here for any other shit, you're here to bring us stuff and help us, and we trust you, and welcome to the team, you're with us. And that was kind of the feeling I get you know, from people when I talk to them too around here in the city. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm here to talk about these things and explain what I see to everyone. And that's really the feeling I get. It's really kind of, you know, again, it's like that hurricane feeling. And I keep coming back to that. If you've ever lived through a hurricane or like a tornado or an ice storm or something like that, you know, there's that same subtext of being in a struggle, this struggle against whether if it's evil people or the elements or, you know, natural disaster. It's kind of the same thing. Anyway, that's about it for tonight. I'm going to write some more stuff up here. I'm going to have a couple more interviews lined up tomorrow. You know, it's really interesting, and I'm really glad that I came, and I'm, you know, it sounded like, you know, the people that I brought the gear to, medical stuff too, were incredibly appreciative, and it you know, they're these people are being incredibly gracious. And, you know, I've never been to Ukraine before, and I didn't have a whole lot invested in the country before I came, but it's hard not to root for them. It's hard not to care for them once you talk to them. And, you know, they seem like, so many of them are like, I would think they would be more on edge than they are. I mean, there's a little bit of that, but I feel like people are making a little bit more of an effort to have a positive face and to see the good in things and see the good in other people, you know, because there's this Russian threat that's bearing down. And I think people are, you know, taking the time to enjoy the good things in life, in the sense of appreciate things that we so often take for granted. It's really inspiring, and it's something you really kind of have to experience. I mean, this is like, how long has it been since we've had a European land war outside of, I mean, I don't even know if the Balkans count, because, you know, recently, because those weren't really like full-on invasions. Those were like civil wars that got out of control. Like, this is a country that's being this is a European country being invaded by another European nation. And what, has it been 80 years since that's happened? And I guess this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. At least, hopefully, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me. And for everyone else as well. But it's really interesting, and I'm glad I'm here. And I hope you look forward to hearing some more of my thoughts and experiences out here. All right, well, I'll sign off for tonight. Again, if you appreciate this, I want to give a shout out and thanks to all the people who donated for the fundraising for the medical supplies that I brought over. And thanks for donating to help me bring them over here and pass it off. I mean, it seems to be making a big difference. Everyone was incredibly, incredibly grateful. And I want to pass on to everyone who helped donate to help bring help to get me help the everyone who donated to help me bring these things over. Sorry, I'm so cold right now, so I'm a little fumbling with that. But thanks to everyone that donated to help me acquire this stuff, source this gear, and get it over here to Europe, because it absolutely is something that people are massively, massively grateful for, and they're very thankful. And I'm very thankful, and I'm going to try to do what I can here to give you my thoughts on what's happening. And I'm going to try to stay at least, you know, till the end of next week at least. If shit goes crazy, I may extend it. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm going to see about trying to move around more of the city. I may try to move out to the east. It's just, I'm getting my bearings. The thing is, I want to touch on this. I think I mentioned this last time. If you ever try to run into a European land war, you want to give yourself plenty of time. Give yourself plenty of time to, and checkpoints. You want to give yourself plenty of extra time padding what you're going to do. Give yourself checkpoints where you can stop, reassess what's going on, and recock what's happening. Because, you know, this stuff is, the thing is really interesting, and I'm going to touch on this. So much of the information you need, because, you know, it's one thing in normal times to find the information you need, especially if the country has a foreign language and a foreign alphabet as well. You know, the stuff that's translated into your language is going to fairly match what's in the native language, but it takes time for information to percolate through different languages. So when a war is going on, the information is actually switching pretty, like the facts on the ground jumble up very quickly and change very quickly. And it may not percolate into your language in time for you to understand the differences. So you may look something up online and Google search it in your language and think, hey, it says do X, Y, or Z. But you know what? Maybe it's not like that anymore. Maybe it changed a couple days ago and no one's just gotten around to putting it in your language. Because again, you know, this is like the Cyrillic alphabet they're using. So they're writing, there's a lot of stuff that happens very granularly. Like, it's very small scale stuff. Like the whole thing with like the train, like I couldn't find anything about the trains online. It still said, hey, there's this train straight to Lviv. Well, there's no train straight to Lviv. It stops at the border. You have to jump on another train. Like, they just haven't actually got down to the details, because the average person around the world does not need to know that sort of stuff. It's the only sort of people who are going to run up and get involved and try to help or get involved in some manner with what's happening need to know that. And they're probably going to find it out through connections or something like that. There's all kinds of back channel information that doesn't really surface so much in mainstream social media or the media or regular media. Like, you just don't get a lot of the granular details that you really need to operate in this sort of setting. So what you want to do is, whenever, if you're going somewhere, you're trying to run into a European land war or some type of fucking emergency situation, treat it kind of like a hurricane in a foreign country, because that's what it is. Very much the damage, you know, the damage may be, you may not be going anywhere near the damage. Like, I think we're 300 miles from Kiev, but there's still like the ripple effects from everything are still being felt. Fuel is incredibly expensive. There's plenty of food, it seems to be, but the fuel is pretty rare and it's way expensive now. You know, again, there's checkpoints and shit everywhere. People are getting quizzed all the time for stuff. So yeah, anyway, and that's the thing. If you're trying to, you know, to, enter a foreign country in this sort of a setting, give yourself plenty of time to stop. Like if I my original plan was to land in Warsaw, hop in a vehicle, head to the border and cross it on Saturday. I'm glad I didn't, because I was frankly fucking exhausted from being in the air for an entire day and not really sleeping, trying to get everything sourced. So I had a massive sleep deficit. Also, I would have not been able to pick up my bag before it arrived. So I had, you know, I had a long time there of like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks actually, of time on the ground. So I was like, hey, you know what? And there was some issues. Like, I was supposedly to head a car to the border, and there were some complications, and that fell through. So I'm like suddenly on very little sleep, trying to re-cock the whole situation. So what I did was, I just called a pause. I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait 24 hours. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to get some rest. Wake up tomorrow morning. And then I'll start sorting this stuff out. I'll see about tracking this bag. I'll start yelling at KLM to find my bag. I'll start finding alternative transportation, and I did. I made it to the border Tuesday. I waited a couple, like 48 extra hours, and that was enough time to get everything fixed and straightened out. And that's really what you want to do, is give yourself lots of time in your schedule. Don't cut it short. Give yourself plenty of time and plenty of opportunities to pause and just go, okay, you know, because you're gonna need to pause. You're gonna need to research, because the information is always changing. It's very granular and it's very specific to the situation and on the ground. So you need plenty of time to stop, pause, reassess what you're doing, then move forward again. Because if something breaks, you want to have time to fix it. Because you are in a war zone and shit's going to break. So anyway, that's it. This is episode 2 of Ukraine Edition Daily Dispatch. And I'll keep you posted. I should have some interviews dropping tomorrow. Take care. Bye.